Sunday, Chaf Ches Tishrei, October 14th, or something like that. It's Sunday afternoon, Chavis Halbobis Lady Shir and Shara Bechina. We're going to give a quick introduction and then go back to the middle of Perek Hamishi, where we're up to. And we're going to start in around 30 seconds. Okay, I like to start on time, not early. But I'm going to keep my foot up, even though I ask your forgiveness. It's not covered for you, and maybe it's not even covered for me. But since we're learning Shaar HaBechina, so I figure whenever you have to be, you want a very visual example of Shaar HaBechina, so you could look at me now saying the Shir, and I'm sitting with my foot up. Without going into the gory details, I have a deep wound on my foot, and it's very painful. So I tell my wife she cannot say to me anymore that I don't know what pain is until I've had a child. I do know what pain is. And they don't teach you breathe. Maybe she should teach me the breathing exercises. Maybe that would take away the pain. And this is amazing, Shaar HaBechina. So I have to keep my foot up and I have to do a whole bunch of things. And it's a very slow process. You missed why I'm keeping my foot up. Okay. Anyway, so it's good Shaar HaBechina, because when you think about it, when there's a wound, normally when a person has a wound, it heals itself, which is the most amazing thing in the world. And we learned earlier in Shaar HaBechina that there's a special element in the blood that like rushes like an ambulance. It's amazing. Like rushes like an ambulance to the place where there's a wound, and it clots the blood and it starts the healing process. And the so it's not working here, and because of it's my own fault it's not working, it's in the leg. I don't have good circulation in my leg for various reasons. The leg is the most difficult place to get good circulation, because you gotta push up. So if I come here next week and I'm wearing stockings, you'll understand. You might recognize the kind of stockings they are. So anyway, but Baruch Hashem, this is like Shaar HaBechina. First of all, a wound usually heals itself. My pants are not going to heal themselves if they tear, right? And the skin and the body, with all of its millions, trillions actually, of cells, heals itself. So that's one Shaar HaBechina. Number two is how pain is a subject for Shaar HaBechina. Because if it wasn't for pain, the wound would have gotten worse and worse and worse until it hit the bone. And once it hits the bone, you're really in big trouble. And thanks to the miracle of pain, I realized after 4 months of ignoring it that something's wrong. So that's Shaar HaBechina. And the very fact that I find it hard to sleep and to walk and everything else is Shaar HaBechina. It's all Shaar HaBechina. So this is a good lesson. So that's why I decided to sit with my foot up. Besides the fact that it's very refuadic, and it's very bad for me to keep my foot down. Okay, we're in the middle of Shaar HaBechina. I want to give a quick introduction in case there's anyone new here, and in case there's not anyone new, which obviously there is. We haven't learned it in a while. I want to get back into it. Okay, Chavis Halvavis is constructed very rationally, very carefully, very methodically. And the first, the foundation of life, the foundation of Yiddishkeit, the foundation is Shaar HaYichud. That's the foundation that talks about Hashem exists, Hashem is one, Hashem is Kol Yochol, everything that's found in Shaar HaYichud. Maybe one day we'll learn it. Usually it's not learned. The philosophical proofs that he brings, a lot of it doesn't talk to us, even if it would talk to us, but we're not trained in philosophy. So us, it might sound like a little like what's called sophistry, but it really is has philosophical principles there. So many people, I happen to have learned Shara Hayichud with the men when we learned Chayvus Halvavus from the beginning, but Hashem in His wisdom, so we MP3'd it, so it should be on the website, but it disappeared. So maybe Hashem is sending me a message. That is a topic, by the way, that people come to me with, and that's just parenthetically I'll mention. A lot of times we say, Hashem's sending me a message. This is a good thing to do. This is not a good thing to do. Should I take this as a message that I shouldn't have learned Shara Yichud? Or do I take it as a nisayon that I should say the shiurim again and record them and be more careful with them? Right? We really don't know. But that's a topic that happens to all of us in our lives where we can't get... Is it a nisayon I should try harder? Or is it a message from Hashem? So that's an interesting inyan that the Shara Yichud Shirim are erased. Okay, but one day we'll learn it. But anyway, that's the foundation of life. That's the foundation of everything, is Hashem's. So that's Shara Yichud. And interestingly enough, Shara Bechina is the first floor. You're building a building. Shara Bechina is the first floor. And Shara Bechina does two things. It's a bridge, really. Shara Bechina teaches us that we have an obligation, an absolute obligation. The name of the Sefer is Chovas Halvavos. We're supposed to think about things, and it's a Chova. We're supposed to observe the universe, observe things going on. He sets down, we learned it in the introduction, seven disciplines. He breaks it down into... Chovas Halvavos is very methodical, very methodical mind. And he breaks it down into seven areas that a person should study, whether it's biology or plant life or history. Torah is one of them. And Bechina means to examine. And these are the things in the world that you have to examine. That comes second because there are two benefits. He keeps repeating, there are two benefits to Bechina, which he teaches us in Shara Bechina. One is that everything in the world, and again, this includes astronomy and plant life and the bones and history and Torah, everything is amazingly complex and is really an indication of wisdom and planning, and therefore you see through it Hashem. You see Hashem, and it's sort of an adjunct to Shara HaYichud. He even says, and I'm paraphrasing, he doesn't say what I'm about to say, but he comes close to it. Even if you're not going to learn Shara Yichud because it's too heavy, or maybe Shara Yichud can't really prove anything to you with the ultimate proof, because I don't have a proof for you that's the equivalent of 2 plus 2 equals 4. He says that openly. But he says, when you get the Shara Bechina and you examine and you see wisdom and planning and design in every little aspect of the universe and of life, he actually says, you will see Hashem much clearer, unless you blind yourself to it. You will see Hashem much clearer, and you'll be more cognizant of Hashem than you will through the philosophical proofs that we've gone through in Shara Yichud. So Shara Bechina is sort of Shara Yichud part two. If you can't do it through Shara Yichud, do it through Shara Bechina. That's our first obligation of Bechina, is because everything reflects amazing complexity and therefore wisdom and therefore design and planning, and therefore we see that there's a Borei. And number two purpose of Shara Bechina is that we see Hashem's love and Hashem's giving, and everything is rachmonas, and everything is done for our benefit, and Hashem is a meitiv. And people question, they do, you have something going wrong in your life, why did Hashem do this to me, who says Hashem is a meitiv? So think how you would feel if you, after doing 10,000 laundries for your husband and making 10,000 suppers and 10,000 breakfasts and cleaning the house 10,000 times, and then you burnt this toast, and then he started
he got enraged and he said, "What kind of a wife are you?" Right? So and that's a bad marshal, because Hashem never burns the toast. Because when Hashem burns the toast, it's because the toast is good for you, burnt toast. For some reason, it's good for you, and there are many. So it's a bad marshal because Hashem never burns the toast. But just to tell you how shallow people are, right? And like, you know, how could Hashem do this to me? And meanwhile, all the things in Shara Bechina are still working. They're still living, and their eyes are functioning, and their kidneys are functioning, and their lungs are functioning. And that's just biology. And you have everything going on, and they can still go to the makolet to buy a container of milk. And right? I mean, again, here's Shara Bechina, ladies. Right? I told my kids, I can't imagine anymore not being in pain. I've been in pain for so long. So I said, remind me to make a Suda Soda'a when this ends, Mitzvah Hashem. Because once I'm 2 days without pain, I'm going to say, yeah, okay. This is the way it's supposed to be. And like I said, I told my kids, remind me, I got to make a Suda Soda'a. Because, you know, but so many things, so there's such an outpouring. When you study Shara HaBechina the way he wants you to, we become aware and convinced of such an outpouring of Hashem's Hatava, and like that anything, quote, bad happening to us, which is not really bad, that's an irony, is just butel. You know, it's just so insignificant, and everything, so much good is going on. So, and that will make us convinced of Hashem's love for us, and that is the precursor to Shara Avodas Elokim. Because Shara Avodas Elokim, which is the third Shara, tells us, okay, what is our reaction to all of this giving that Hashem does for us? Do we just take it, put it in our pockets and say, thank you, Lord, have a nice day? Or does it demand something of us? And to put it a different way, when we do things because they're demanded of us, the Chavis Halvavis setup is, we're not doing it to avoid Gehenna, and we're not doing it to get Gan Eden, and we're not doing it because we have to do it, we're doing it to say thank you. The system, Hashem set up the system that everything we do for Hashem, which is of course not for Hashem, but for us, is a way of acknowledging all the Hatava he does, and he brings proofs for that, and that's what Shara Avodas Elokim is all about. Avodas Hashem as thank you for Shar HaBechina. So Shar HaBechina is part two of Shar HaYichud. That's the wisdom, complexity, planning, design that we see everywhere in the Bria. And again, the Bria means everything. Your lives, history, how you met who you met, your friends, you know, everything in life. There's a Hashem. And it's also a hakdama to Shara, it's a setup to Shar Avodas Elokim, because it also shows the outpouring of Hashem's love. Just one thing, and I keep on digressing. You know, because we were learning the fifth parak, so I printed out something on September 6th, 2012. So we all know what DNA is, right? DNA. So we have around 21,000 genes. So they called something junk DNA, because ever since our DNA was first sequenced about a decade ago, it's not so long ago, right? The script, they had like a lot, you know, you ever see a picture of the DNA thing? So that most of it, doesn't serve any purpose. That's what they always thought. It has believed that the human genome, I don't know if I'm pronouncing it right, genome, with a hard G or a soft G? Genome, the underpinnings of the blueprint of the evolved species that we are, would be stuffed with sophisticated genes. But Lemaisa, only 3 billion base pairs. The rest is wasteland. But it turns out that they were wrong. This is again September 6, 2012. In an impressive series of more than 30 papers published by Nature, Genome Research, Genome Biology, blah, 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 scientists now report that junk DNA, quote, unquote, junk DNA, are actually the seat of the crucial gene-controlling activity, changes that control diseases. And then there's a whole explanation of how what they thought was junk DNA and had no purpose, now they finally discovered the purpose. Now, you know what you're talking about? You're talking about, like, you know, they used to think you could look at a cell of a human being and, like, wow, a cell. A human being is made up of trillions of cells, right? And they all are miyuchad for the part of the body that they're in. Okay, again, we did that already, and I'll go over it. But there's certainly more complexity in a cell. Which, if you study a cell, if you just Google the word human cell, and then just go to the first one, which is almost always Wikipedia, and you could spend the next 6 months reading about the complexity and the wisdom and the hatava, why everything works, and it works in tandem, and of the human cell, and the built in the body is made up of trillions of cells. So, okay, that's why we have Shara Bechina. A lot about davening, there are phrases in davening that really teach us to do things. And again, the question is, you know, we daven, but then we have to do what it says in davening. For example, there's a pasuk, Ve'ezuz no rosecha yomeiru, ugdulascha asaprena. I will tell of your gedulos. But, so when we daven, we, like, okay, we have kavana, let's say. But then do we go do it? Like, davening is sort of, when you daven Pesukei Dezimra and all these things, it's really just it's supposed to inspire us and urge us to go study about the things we're talking about and all the various descriptions of Hashem and in Yotze HaMa'oros and all those things. So davening really has a lot of Bechina inspiration in it, and it should be used for that. The problem with Shara Bechina, the Chodesh Halvodah says, the reason he wrote the Shara, again, I apologize if you will remember this, but I want to go over it again from the beginning before we get back into it. We will go back to where we're up to, but he says there's three reasons why Bechina is so hard. There's a general reason, because we don't like to think. I will add that. He doesn't say that. He sort of says it, but not really. But I'll say there's a general reason that it takes thinking, and as the decades go on, people like to think less and less. They like the visual, and they want to see things, and deep thought is already, forget about it. Like, you got to catch them. You know, you ever hear the expression, an elevator pitch? You ever hear that expression? When I want to go to an investor, and I want him to invest money in an idea I have. So they say, don't sit there and explain what your idea is for a half hour. You got to make what's called an elevator pitch. Make believe you're in an elevator, and you know, you have like 30 seconds to 1 minute to pitch your investment and to interest him. It's called an elevator pitch, and that's what people want nowadays. People don't want more, and I get complaints that my drushes are too long, and maybe they are, because you know, I talk more than 20 minutes, and you know, after 10 minutes, 15 minutes, that's like, whoa. Also, people are not trained to deep thinkly. I always talk about the book The Shallows that I recommend highly, speaking about how the internet mamish ruins our mind. The Shallows by Nicholas Carr, Carr. The Shallows, and it means shallow, shallow thinking. The Shallows, that's what he calls the internet, and he part of it is like very scientific. He shows what? Nicholas Carr, Carr. The Shallows, and I think it's an important book to read. It shows you how the internet ruins our minds, and it's ruining people's minds. It's like what I call the Sesame Street, you know, boom, 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 click, 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 no time to think. You'll notice that the Torah is written very specifically in paragraphs, Litain L'Moshe, you know, Moshe had to reflect on each parasha before he went on to the next parasha. The stumim, you know, there's like little paragraphs in the Torah, and the in the Chumash it's represented by a pei or a samach, and Rashi says in Vayikra that Moshe stop, review, think about what this taught you, what you now know, etc. And now everything click, click, click. Even Wikipedia is like, you know, now it's a bazillion. I should really be embarrassed. I should say I looked it up in Encyclopedia Britannica. Okay, so in general we don't like to think, and Bechina entails thinking because it's things we see every day and we're used to. But the Chavis Haldovas pinpoints three problems why he had to write Shar HaBechina, to wake people up, to observe, to think, to study. If you don't know, go study. We have now. I think it's, in my opinion, it's clearly Zelu Umaze Osa Elokim. That's an expression. It's really from Hasidus, but it's become a very common phrase. It's taken from the Malachim, but the idea is that, you know, if Hashem takes away Nevuah, so He takes away the Yetzer of Avodah Zarah. He always keeps the balance. The balance is always there, and that works the other way too. There's a wave of atheism in the world ever since the Enlightenment. Probably nobody's really religious anymore. By the Goyim, and just every newspaper, everything is doesn't have Hashem there. But with the click of a button, you could say, you know, type in the human eye. And, you know, it used to be you had to go to 42nd Street in New York City, right, to the public library to study these things. Now you have all the information in the world, virtually, all the information available to mankind in the world, Hashem has made available. We have no excuse not to say Pokeach Ivrim with Kavana, because you say, how am I supposed, where am I? I'm going to go back to college and study about the eye. No, yeah, because everybody has computers, and if you don't, you can borrow mine. I'll print it out for you. You type in the human eye, and first of all, you know, 2,500,000. But just go to the first two. That's all you need to do, and the first two will supply you with enough information to read for 6 months, borrow. And then the next time you say Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech HaOlam Pokeach Ivrim, wow, and there's so much complexity, everything is there, so we have at our fingertips, so there's no excuse. The excuse that there's really no excuse for not doing Shar HaBechina, because Hashem also provided that we have all this information at our fingertips. That's what I feel. So the Chavis Haldovas pinpoints three reasons why there's a problem. I'm saying, in general, the reason is we don't think. His first reason is that people are busy. They're busy. They're preoccupied with their lives, with what they're doing. They're preoccupied with gaining pleasure from the world, of ta'anugah, he says. And this is one thing. He makes it into three, but it's one, but it's really three, because he says one sentence with three things in it. They're busy with their lives, they're busy attaining pleasure from the world, and they're focused on what they don't have. That's one thing. So, you know, they're not looking at the good that they have from Hashem. They're looking, they don't appreciate what they have, they don't think about what they have, because they're too busy it's one thing. They're too busy attaining things, trying to get things. That's what we do a whole day. We work and we try to get things. And then we have them and we want to enjoy them. And then we think about, okay, what's next? What do I do next? How do I get a bigger house? More money, more this, more that. And we're focused on what we don't have. That's the human condition. So the human condition is to be busy with it's absorbed with its worldly affairs, to attain things, and then it wants to enjoy it, and then it's focused, well, why can't I enjoy that? There's more to enjoy. So there's no appreciation, because of that human condition, there's no appreciation for what we do have. So therefore, you have to stop and think and study what you do have. And if you would, as I say, we would all be Breslova, we would all be dancing in the streets, we would all break out, we would be walking down the street, and you would think about that what your thyroid glands are doing, and you would break out in a dance, and you would start singing, right? I don't know if you would sing Ashreinu Sheyesh Lanu Rebbe Kazeh, I don't know, but you would sing something, and then people would look at Meshugana, and therefore it's not advisable. But certainly, we would, and the reason we don't, unfortunately, is not because we're bursting with thanks and praise of Hashem and we're just controlling ourselves so other people shouldn't look at us like we're crazy. Unfortunately, we're not overflowing with gratitude the way we would if someone, the Chavis Aldovitz gives a marshal in the beginning of Shara Bechina, if someone picked us up from the street and put us through school and put us through college and gave us a shidduch and built us a house and gave us a position, a job, like your heart would be overflowing with thanks, and Hashem does so much more for us, and we don't have that feeling. Okay, we just think about our kidneys, kitzur. Okay, so that's number one. Number two, so number one is we're too busy, and we're busy with getting things and pleasure, and then we're focused on what we don't have yet. We want more pleasure. Number two, the second reason is that we're born with no seichel, and by the time we get seichel, we're used to everything we have, so there's a feeling of taking things for granted and entitlement. So even if we feel entitled to see, we feel entitled to live, we feel entitled to think, we feel entitled to talk, we feel entitled that why doesn't my foot work properly? No scientist in the world could invent how to heal a wound the way Hashem did. Amish not. But I feel entitled that my wound should heal. And I'm angry at Hashem. Why doesn't it heal? So the doctors told me it's my own fault. So good. I'm happy they told me that. But that's reason number two. Reason number two is that we feel entitled. We take things for granted because we experience everything when we're very young, when we don't have any seichel. So by the time we get seichel, 60 years old, 61 years old. I'm talking about myself. And I'm being a Balgaiva. I'm sorry. I'm being a Balgaiva. By the time we get Seichel, it's too late. We feel entitled to everything and we take it for granted. That's problem number two. This is why he has to kick us in the pants, to look at everything in the world and think about it and examine it. Bechina. Why should it be this way? Why is this so beautiful? Why are there so many colors? Why this? Why that? And when things don't work right, if we ever get to where we're up to in Shara Bechina today, which I'm afraid we won't, he talks about why there are childhood diseases. He's talking about everything. What's the purpose of childhood diseases? Poor kid. You know, you look at your kid, and Nebuch, your heart goes out for him, right? Maybe your heart goes out for the money you're spending on medicine too, but meanwhile he's crying, and it hurts him. And sometimes you can't do it. Akamil and this and that. And what's the purpose, Hashem? What's the purpose of what are we? Little child. So he talks about it. He talks about why children cry so much. I think we learned it now. Our last session together, he talks about the benefits of crying. Now in his days, medicine had certain theories about the benefits of tears and the benefits of crying. I don't think we subscribe to them anymore. But I looked it up in my good old computer, and I printed out 5 pages of what scientists say, the benefits of crying and the benefits of tears. And it makes sense that children, as a child grows up, you need it more. It does wonderful things for the body. It washes out certain impurities, and it makes an emotional connection. So everything you have to look at. So So he kicks us in the pants for reason number one, is that we're busy with our lives, and we're busy, and we end up. Number one, I keep repeating because it's a complex thing. We're busy with our lives, and our lives usually are focused on getting things and enjoying them. And memela, we focus on what we don't have. That's all number one. So we're focused on what we don't have. So we're resentful. Maybe that's too strong a word, but you can't be thankful when you're focused on what you don't have. Number two is we are born and we have everything without seichel, and therefore by the time we get seichel, we take it for granted and we feel entitled to it. So he has to kick you in the pants for that reason. That's reason number two. And reason number three is that people have tzaros, and not everything is hunky-dory. People have problems, and when they have problems, they forget everything, as I said before with the wife that burnt the toast. They forget everything good, and they forget that this work, my foot hurts, so I forget about the other 247 Avarim that are working, and the other 365 Gidden that are working, and the fact that I could still think, and I could still talk, and except when I'm taking the painkillers. Boy, they knock you out. Boy. My life now is toggling between pain, painkillers, which make me woozy, and just something in the middle that I can come and give a lady share. Not just a lady share, a man share. I could like sneak in between the raindrops, between those things. But Baruch Hashem, I have a mahalach. Don't feel bad for me. I'm not looking for sympathy. I have an appointment tomorrow in a special center for wounds in Gilo. And Hashem did it. You know, when Hashem pushes you out of a plane, he always gives you a parachute. So I was by, the doctor said there's normally a 3-month wait. It's called a wound center. And there's a special doctor, he goes around the whole Eretz Israel. He specializes in wounds and how to treat them and what to do with them. So he has a wound center in Gilo. It's a mu'uchedes thing, Grada. Thank you, Hashem. It's a mu'uchedes thing. And so normally there's a 3-month wait. So my wife calls up, and they almost start laughing at her, like, you know, can I come tomorrow? And they said, we just had a cancellation. Come in on Monday, 8:40. That's tomorrow morning, be mispalo for me. 8:40, we have a cancellation. You just called, boom, you're in. So that's the Chasnei Hashem. So, you know, so it's almost always with a, I don't know, almost always, I should really say always. Always with a parachute. Always you have something. We all experience that. Something, what we think is bad happens, and it's softened by other circumstances. But that's the third reason that we need a kick in the pants about Shaar HaBechina, to remind us how much Hatava Hashem does for us, because when something goes wrong, that's all we focus on. And and you don't even know. Could be a person's business fails. It could be his life is focused on Gashmias, and his business fails now, and now he goes and he focuses more on Ruchnias. So the business failing is a wonderful thing. This foot, right, why isn't it healing? So part of the reason is that I'm borderline diabetic. Borderline. I don't know what that means, borderline. It's like being a little bit pregnant. I don't know. I'm borderline diabetic. I don't know what borderline makes. Must make me feel better. I'm only borderline. So it's a big sakana when they tell you borderline. So you say, oh, Baruch Hashem, I'm not diabetic. I don't have to watch myself. But I'm enough borderline that it's not healing properly, because that's part of diabetic, is that the blood. So now I'm going to take care of myself, maybe. We'll see. We'll see when the pain goes away for 2 days. I'm going to forget all of this. But it's a big bracha. It's a big bracha. It could be if this wouldn't have happened, you know, a much worse thing would have happened. So really, Hashem never burns the toast. Really, it's always good. But we focus on that the dollar went down, and, you know, this happened and that happened, and that's the third reason he gives, because life is not smooth. Life always has rough edges. There are always setbacks, and there's always mountains to climb, and he wants us to always be full of gratitude to Hashem. I could still eat, I could still think, I still have kidneys, I could still urinate, I could still walk, I could still function. You know, there are people that can't function. And even though those people that can't function have to be happy that they're alive, and everybody has their own things going on in their lives. So that's the third reason he has to kick us in the pants. Okay. Those are the three reasons he wrote Shara Bechina. Now we're going to go back and learn a little Shara Bechina, where we're up to. Here we go again. We're up to the baby. He's talking about a child growing up. And he wants us to study every aspect of... I'm going to give out homework at the end of the class. We're in Perek Hamishi. And, I don't know, let me try... If you have the English, what do most people have? The Feldheim? Yeah. Oh, sorry. Yeah, page 194. Well, we'll start with 192, the bottom, if you have the Feldheim. Well, Merov HaTova Al Ha'odom. He says, why does a child have no seichel? Animals are much more developed. Why does a child acquire seichel so slowly? And Omerova tova lo'odom sheino maskil. It's a tremendous benefit that a person has no seichel when he's very young. The lo makir hatova harab beis yalduso. He's very innocent. He doesn't know. He doesn't discern between good things and bad things. He doesn't know the difference between being rich and being poor, the difference between having power and being helpless. He says, it's almost funny. He says, "Shemhoyu sichel vakaroso shleimen beis gidulo," because if his powers of reasoning and his seichel would be fully developed, he would get depressed. He would be in a depression because he's so helpless. And he's in a crib. Like, he doesn't chap, he's in a crib. When my oldest son, I think I told the story, when my oldest son was born, so he had to wear these bars on his feet at night to straighten his feet out. So our hearts, went out to him, because you put a child to sleep, he wants to kick around, he couldn't kick. So I told my wife, I said, he doesn't know that that's happening. He thinks, to his infant mind, we're talking about a month old. In his infant mind, when it gets dark, he's not thinking these words, obviously. When it gets dark and he goes to sleep, he can't move his feet. That's part of life. You can't move your feet. So he doesn't feel bad that he can't move his feet. So, that's what he says. The child doesn't know that he's a prisoner of the parents, and the parents can do what they want with him, and he can't. He's helpless and he's at the mercy of his parents and he can't manage for himself. He doesn't know of that. He's in his crib. He doesn't know that he can't he can't clean himself if he goes to the bathroom. It's like if he would chap that, it's bizarre, like he would feel terrible. So he doesn't know. See, he's happy. That's why Charles always smiling. He's happy. Sameach b'chelko. He doesn't know what he's missing out on, and he doesn't know that if the parents want him to go to sleep, he goes to sleep. He doesn't most of the time, right? He doesn't know what he's missing out, right? The problem is when you have your teenager, and your teenager doesn't want to go to sleep. They want to be part of the excitement of life, right? That's when you have a problem. Okay, so that's a chesed. That's a bechina. That's a chesed that he doesn't have fully developed seichel immediately. He would be so depressed and he would be so geschlagen that he would maybe die from just the yogon and the agony. That's an amazing thing that a child cries so much. So again, we're going to learn now his words, and these are the words of the medicine of his day. And then I'll read to you what I printed out. He has benefit from his crying. According to the medical science of his time, obviously of the Chavis Aladdis' time,
There's a concentration of fluid in the brains of the children. If it stays there, it could be very harmful. It dissipates the fluid. And he is thus saved from the harmful effects. Okay, I don't know. I didn't find anything that's like that, but maybe it's, first of all, there's all these kinds of tears. Like, you wouldn't believe it. You can categorize, there's more kinds of tears than the Rosh Hashanah and the Chovas HaLevavos. There's emotional tears, stress-related tears. Emotional tears contains more of the protein-based hormone, prolactin, and etc., all kinds of stuff. A natural painkiller, hey, wait a second. All of which are produced by our body when under stress. Okay, that's the emotional tears. Basal tears, B-A-S-A-L. We all need a layer of protective fluid covering our eyeballs. I'm reading now from Da'ish Science, today's medical. We all need the layer of protective fluid covering our eyeballs, and this is known as continuous or basal tears. This fluid is secreted by the lacrimal glands, which sit above each eye. And without it, our eyes would be in danger of drying out and become susceptible to bacterial attack. And basal tears contain lysosome, a powerful and fast-acting antibacterial and antiviral agent. Without this, the eye, because it's a moist environment, would suffer enormous amounts of bacterial attack, and you could potentially go blind. So I would imagine a child needs this more, because his eyes are first developing. One of the most important functions crying can have is to protect our eyes from irritants and foreign bodies, such as dust, and getting rid of the acidic fumes when cutting onions. These tears are known as reflex tears. When our eyes come under attack from irritants, the lacrimal glands in our eyes start stimulating more fluid to wash away the irritant than drain it from the eye. Emotional or stress-related tears are thought to help us through difficult times in a number of ways. They wash toxic chemicals out of our body. Amazing. And they psychologically give your feelings a good airing. Okay. Wash chemicals, toxic substances. Okay, basically that's it. Everything else is... Like, while you're crying, you won't feel better. They talk about physiologically why you feel better after you've had a good cry. Like, people say, I've had a good cry, now I feel better. So I assume the child, again, really, you have to do this research. And again, he has his cheshbon based on the medical knowledge of his day. We have mechuyev to go and do more research, better than I did, you know, what tears, how tears are beneficial for the body, and why a child needs it more. And that's why the child's always crying. So it's a chesed Hashem. Now he's up to teeth. Why are there baby teeth? Well, he talks about why all the baby, he doesn't really talk about why there's baby teeth and then regular teeth. I guess the reason is how the child, what kind of food the child has. But he talks about why the baby teeth, it's a chesed Hashem that they don't all fall out at once. While they're growing, mashanafu mehem. So he never has no teeth. I don't know why baby teeth and this teeth. We have to do the research. Now, why does it hurt? Why does teething hurt? Why does it have to hurt? So really, that's included in his next question: why are there so many childhood diseases? V'acher ken yavru olav chaloim u'mikrim machivim, painful illnesses. It's an amazing thing. And I have to. I'm afraid when mincha is 1 o'clock, I have to like bolt out of here and be by a 1 o'clock mincha. For a few months, it was 1:15, but now it's 1 o'clock. He says psychologically, the child is getting used to the idea that life is not a bowl of cherries, and the child feels pain. And sees life is not smooth. And you see, an infant, yeah. He is getting used to the nature of the world, that there's pain in the world. Pain.
What age?
Any age. He's talking about childhood diseases. Obviously, it builds up.
as the child gets older. But he says the child is getting used from a young age that the world is not a joyride. The world has pain in it. Pain builds character. Pain teaches the child in a subtle way that you have to be sovel. Sometimes you have to be sovel. You don't always have what you want. You have to be sovel. Things are painful. And it's a shame, they'll get better, but right now they're painful, and then sometimes life is painful. And that's how he gets used to the idea. It's like a little musser to the child. And that's how Hashem, in small doses, obviously each child is different, every child is different. Sometimes the cheshbon is also that the parents should have the tircha of taking care of the child, whether it's a monetary tircha or a time tircha or agnus nefesh tircha, right? Everything's b'cheshbon with the parents. But now he's just focused on the child, that it's an amazing thing, that the ches of Hashem in childhood diseases is to get the child used to the idea that life is not just whoopee, you know, hooray. It has things, and he has to get used to that, and he gets used to it. Okay, he gets used to it as he